everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino coming to you from Las Vegas for today's Survivor Exit interview. It's my last day here in Vegas. Right after this, I'm going to hop in the car and head back home. But what a successful trip it's been, because Rob Has a Podcast is coming home with two podcast awards. I have a feeling you probably know that already, but this is my first time talking on the podcast since it happened, and I am still so excited. I really was almost speechless on Tuesday night when we won the awards, and I really just can't believe what you guys did. And it was really amazing. I think that people did not see this coming. I think the podcast world was shocked to see that Rob Has a Podcast is not only your best entertainment podcast of 2015, but officially your People's Choice Podcast of the Year. So thank you guys so much. And I hope that you guys will be proud of everything that we do going on still in 2015 and into 2016. And really just such an honor, because in my mind, that's the top achievement in podcasting. So thanks again. I really, really appreciate that. All right, let's get to the business at hand. We've got an exit interview to do here today with Joe Anglim, who was voted out of the tribe last night. And really hurts my chances to be the knowingest know-it-all at this point. I've got to be honest. That is really not looking good. I may have brought some podcast awards into the fold this past week, but it looks like that other trophy is going to be one that's going to be back out of the picture. But that being said, we're going to talk with Joe here in just a minute. So Stephen Fishback and Josh Wiggler, they got together and did Survivor Know-It-Alls. I haven't listened to the show yet. I'm going to listen to it in the car on my drive home from Vegas today, but looking forward to checking that out. For everything I've heard, Josh Wiggler knocked it out of the park, and really looking forward to hearing what those guys had to say about the episode. Then, of course, when I get home tonight, I am going to be speaking with the great Jonathan Penner about this week's episode. So that podcast is going to be posted tonight into Friday morning. So you'll have that. And then we're going to do the voicemails as a separate show. I'm going to speak with my friend Angie Kontz, who does our casting types at the beginning of each season. And so we're going to talk with Angie. So get your voicemails in for Angie. Probably we'll record that over the weekend and get it posted for you probably by Sunday. So you can go and get your voicemails in at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Then we've got This Week in Survivor History coming up after we talk to Joe, who I see we have here on the line. Joe, are you there?
What's up, Rap City?
Yes, Joe.
How are you, bud?
I can't believe I'm talking to my mom's favorite survivor, Joe. here you are. I am in Vegas. I am in a hotel room, but I'm very excited to be talking to you. I'm not excited to be talking to you, because I really thought that coming into this merge, I thought that that you and the No Collar people had this. And I have to say, I think it's, I have to give Mike all the credit in the world, because I said that, oh, this blue collar tribe is fractured. I know Joe has his people, that I think Carolyn and Tyler are going to go over there. And what happened?
We'll fall off. We'll jump ship. Mike rounds them up. Everyone, you know, Tyler and Carolyn realized Will flipped, and you know, that's crucial information. And so there's no reason for them to join us. So yeah, we were, and of course, you know, of course in that first challenge, myself and Jen and Haley, we were all up on that darn pole, and we just made ourselves out to be enemy 1, 2, and 3, you know, so the tripod was targeted.
Yeah. Joe, could you talk about that? Because, you know, dominance in the challenges is something I know absolutely nothing about. Now, if you could if you could have had this whole post-merge to do over again, would you have tried as hard to win the challenges, or would you have done it the same way because they're coming for you no matter what?
Yeah, Rob, you know, but I knew as soon as that first challenge, when I unfortunately killed the puzzle, and, you know, I knew I was, that's just where I was at in the game. Like, I knew they were coming. And, you know, you observe people. I mean, everyone's watching everyone in the challenges. Who's doing well? Who's not doing well? And, you know, it, unfortunately for me, I love the game. I couldn't help it. I played too hard. So, I'm pretty sure if I don't win that first immunity challenge, it's an 11-1 vote, hands down. I mean, they're coming for me. So, or at least another split vote. I'm thinking maybe, you know, I have an idol or something. But
Well, I know how much it killed you that I watched the secret scenes and the Ponderosa stuff, and you know, your passion for, you know, what you were doing out there really, you know, came through, and in the episode too last night. So when Jen tells you, if I win the immunity necklace, I'll give you the immunity necklace, and I really thought that's what was going to happen.
Excited, I did too. I honestly, Rob, I think it would have happened. Yeah. I really do. I think just because A would have caused so much conflict in that tribal, and just all of it, you know, the fact like I'm still in it, you know, she knew how much I loved the game, and I think a part of her really wanted to be with Haley at Ponderosa, but at the same time, she's not completely throwing in the towel, you know, she would never quit, like she said, but yeah, I think she maybe would have given me the necklace. So that, I was rooting for her, man. In my head, come on, Jen Brown, hang in there, girl. So.
Yeah. Well, could we talk about the semantics of that? Because I definitely felt like that, you know, Jeff liked you. I felt like Jeff would have liked to have seen you stay in the game. He gives Jen the opportunity, like, hey, you could do the ultimate no collar thing. Why don't you just leave? And then, you know, Joe can stay in the game. This will be exciting. And she says, no, I won't do that, because I would never quit the game. In your mind, what's the difference between, hey, here's the necklace, I'm going to Riken back myself out of here, and I quit the game? What is the difference there? Because I don't really see a major one.
You know, would she really give me the necklace? You don't really know until she's sitting there. And is she really 100% quit? Like, I mean, mentally, is she checked out? Maybe a little bit, but from a strategy standpoint, telling everybody, I'm checked out, I'm ready to go home, I don't want to be here, what are people going to do? They're going to go, man, we can keep her around.
Yeah.
And A, we're going to make her more miserable. B, you know, we don't have to worry about her because she's not going to, like, play the game and do anything. Maybe she's a little bit of a, you know, an easy road, like, let's keep her around for a couple more votes. And then now all of a sudden she's back in the game. You know, every day is a new day. I mean, we were playing, our cast was playing one challenge at a time. You know, it was, there was no couple votes down the road. It was 1 minute at a time. So tough to say if she would really give it up. I don't know.
Just real quick about that. You don't think that there was any strategic part of what she was doing? Like, she really did want to stay, and that she said she didn't want to stay so people wouldn't want to get rid of her, right?
I don't, you know, that's, I mean, from my perspective, I think it was half and half. I think she was, you know, once she lost Haley, like, she lost her best friend in the game. I think she now had nobody, I mean, she had me to talk to, kind of, but, you know, Shireen talks the game all the time. So she didn't, like, she was kind of annoyed. I think she, you know, just didn't want to be there. And she's on a sinking ship, you know, she's thinking, well, they're targeting me and me, Joe, and Shireen. So it's going to go boom, 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 you know? So I don't know if it was, I don't know. It's hard to, you know, put myself in her shoes, but just from my perspective of where I was at in the game, seeing her and interacting with her, that's what I thought. And then I was like, you know what, Jen, if that's your strategy, like, girl, that might work. Like, you could get a couple more and then you win a couple immunities or something, and you're right back in a driver's seat. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's tough play call, but
okay,
we'll see how it plays out for him.
Joe, I want to talk about your relationship with Mike, because I think this is an interesting and complicated relationship in the game. One that Mike himself called a clash of the titans in the secret scenes.
Yep.
And now, I had said from the pre-merge, I didn't understand why Mike didn't get rid of you. I'm always apparently like at the opposite of what Mike's doing with you. I think he should do, like, when he kept you in the pre-merge, I said, what is he doing keeping him around? You got to get rid of this guy. But then, you know, now he's targeting you. And I'm like, oh, maybe it makes sense to keep Joe around for Mike. So could you just talk about the discussions that you and Mike had? Because it seemed like even though you were adversaries, it seemed like you had a very good friendship also, if I'm not misreading that, from what was going on out there.
No, and that's the thing, you know, like just in the sports world, like playing against the best, you know, it's kind of like that sportsmanship on the court or off, you know, or like off the court, you're friends, but once you're in the arena, you know, game on. Like I knew day one that he was a gamer. I knew that he knew the game. Like we're talking pregame. I just knew that just by watching him and, you know, I just knew that he knew the game. So for me, he was the next biggest threat in behind me. So I wanted to me and him clicked on a personal level. We come from, you know, similar, like we're very close with our family. She's a really good guy. And then there's the game side where we were like, hey, you know what, dude? Game on, brother. Like, I'm coming after you. You're coming after me. But I'm not going to cancel you out as an option. Like, if you're ever, you know, if there's a time when you think, hey, they're coming after me and they're coming after you, maybe it's in our best interest to link up. And so that was kind of my pitch to Mike with the idol was, hey, we're at this turning point now. If I go home, maybe they're coming after you. So let's use this idol to our advantage. And, but no, it was great. That's the thing was I was pitching myself as another option to use. And that, you know, that's anything, everyone is an option. That's what I think people forget about this game is you can go any direction and you can change so fast. And I really fed the fire of Joaquin having more options than myself. And I really, when I at the swap, I said, hey, Mike, Joaquin's got Carolyn and Shireen, and I think he's really close with Tyler, you know, and I'm feeding that doubt in his mind and making myself look like less of a threat. So, well, not less of a threat, but making Joaquin look like more of a threat in the moment, even though, was he really? I don't know. But could he pull more numbers? Hypothetically, no. Absolutely. So,
I don't know about Joaquin pulling that many numbers, but
from you know, from our perspective,
no,
on the blue collar,
good job on you.
Oh no, I'm just saying we don't actually know the dynamic of the white collars. All we are getting is what Tyler and Walker are telling us. So for all we know, they could just be saying, "Oh, we hate Shireen, and you know, we're not really with Carolyn and Max is annoying him," and you know, that all is partially true, but when they're all together, are they going to vote together? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like just white collar alone, white collar votes. So now Walk has Rodney and maybe Sierra, that's 6 votes versus me with my 3 is 4 votes. Okay. So
just going back to this idea with the necklace. Now you were trying to pull something over on Mike with the fake necklace, which was really well done. But did you feel like that Mike, even though you were trying to pull something over on him, did you feel like that his offer to you was disingenuous, considering the fact that if it really was a real idol that you gave him, and then he went up and played it on Will, you still would have gone home? Did that piss you off?
No, it didn't. It just kind of, it was, I laughed like, damn, you know, like, of course it didn't work. You know, I'm thinking in my head, all right, you know, and what if, and it would have been even funnier if he played it for me, you know, like, oh, here you go. Like, I'm playing this for Joe. And then it ended up being real. You know, the fact that he asked Jeff, is this real? There was a shred of doubt. He didn't know if it was fake, but he wasn't like, you know, he was maybe on the fence. I think he was 50-50.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have the blue idol and I give him that, that might be a whole different story. You know, I still think Mike has the blue idol from the original tribes. So yes. I was just trying to pitch a merge idol. But it's tough to say. I think, you know, handing it to him and, you know, he was sitting there looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And I'm like, he probably thinks that's fake. So
All right, we've only got a couple minutes left, Joe. So let me go into the hurry up a little bit, because I know you got a lot of interviews.
Yeah,
to do
today. I got you. I'll give you some short answers. Here
great.
We go.
I want to talk about you and Tyler, because I feel like where this thing really turned for the no collar people was that Tyler and Carolyn ended up sticking with blue collar and not going with you guys. You go into the swap and it looks like everything is going your way, that you have Sierra and Tyler and Joaquin, and nothing ends up happening there with those guys. And then there's another opportunity after you find the clue, and then you and Tyler go out and go look for the clue. But ultimately, you can't get that relationship. You can't ever get Tyler to vote your way. What was going on with Tyler?
Tyler was usually very quiet whenever I talked to him, and I was trying to get him on my side as much as possible. You know, he was playing his options, and it was better for him to go with the majority and to try to find, you know, get a couple votes deeper than to align himself with, well, three strong players, myself, Haley, and Jen. Like, it's easier to beat Dan, Rodney, and Sierra, for example, than maybe myself, Jen, and Haley in an individual immunity challenge. So it's farther down the road, you know. I think he was just thinking, yeah, I can pull more votes. I just got to outlast, you know, these three, and then maybe win some immunities. So I don't know. I was trying to pull in Tyler every day, trying to pull him in. I think he was just a little timid to go against the majority.
It seemed to me like you had a really good relationship with Will. And I was very surprised that once he got to the merge, he just, you know, flat left you guys, even before it seemed clear to us how the numbers were going to shake out. How surprised were you that Will ended up so quickly jumping away from you guys?
Yeah, I had a very, very tight, very close relationship with Will. Day one, we aligned. I knew Will didn't know the game very well, so I was kind of playing that to my advantage. So after the merge, I thought Will was still with me. I told him, like, hey, I'm not going to hang out with you. I'm not going to talk to you very much. But, you know, like, you know, let's just check in every once in a while. But he was already hook, line, and sinker gone on the other side. And I think, you know, I think maybe we pissed him off, you know, when we casted a couple votes his way. Maybe he wanted to play with adults instead of a younger crowd. Maybe he just didn't want to go up against me, Jen, and Haley. You know, he just figured he had better options on the other side. And if they're all targeting us and he flips, good on him. Because that's, I mean, now he's with the majority. So it's tough. It's tough. You know, they're just going to snipe all the no callers out one by one by one.
Yeah.
And if they do, then maybe he's out. So I don't know. If he did it for strategy, I don't know. He got me, though. He got me good. I put a lot of love and trust and faith in Will, and unfortunately it didn't work out. But I still love him. Good dude.
Okay, Joe. Well, you laid it all out there on the line in the game. We can't ask for much more. I thought you're a lot of fun to watch. Hopefully we have a longer time to sit down and talk sometime down the road.
Anyway,
all the best to you, Joe.
Love to hash it out.
All right, take care, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Hey, yeah, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, so let's get into this past week in Survivor history. It's going to be the third week in April in Survivor history, and here is our resident Survivor researcher, Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan!
Hey, Rob. I am really excited to get in. We have some good things happening this week. Some big players to talk about.
I said this is Jordan Kalish. Are you going to correct
Rob,
me?
I've given up on correcting you.
Okay. All right, Jordan. Well, you're jumping the gun here a little bit because, of course, we want to welcome you to the show. But before we get into everything, we always like to thank our sponsor for this week in Survivor History, and those are our friends over at True Car. Because, Jordan, I know that you have been in the market for a car. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm really looking for a used car, but there seems to be a problem with my last name on all of the registrations.
Yes. All right. Well, when you're going to make a big purchase like buying a new car, you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you confidence to know you're getting a fair deal. So to really understand the power of transparency, Jordan, and you agree, the power of transparency is a powerful thing, right?
I think transparency is the biggest thing. I think you always need to know what you're getting into and what's going on.
Yes, of course, and especially when you're buying the car. So check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure a car the way you want, you can also see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to the zip code, so you know what to expect to pay for the car that you want. It's a pretty transparent process, right?
That sounds very transparent. I like to live my life in complete transparency.
Yes.
That sounds like my kind of deal.
You're see-through almost. And once you decide on the car you want, then you could lock in the guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without a negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay, download the True Car app today. All right, Jordan, what are we talking about this week?
Well, today we're talking about something maybe even as great as the True Car experience. We're talking about, first, a big week in Survivor Cagayan.
Okay, this is huge. We needed this. I feel like this is the first time we've talked about Survivor Cagayan here on This Week in Survivor History. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. We, you know, Cagayan had a lot of big moments post merge, and
did we already talk about it earlier this season when Tony found the aisle? Do you remember?
Rob, I can't be sure. I don't want to lie to you.
Can you just check your notes and tell me if we talked about this already this year?
Rob, I'll check my notes. They're not on me right now, so I might have to get back to you. I can let all the fans know.
Okay, all right. Well, tweet us tomorrow and let us know.
I will tweet you tomorrow. But today is actually the anniversary of a big moment when 1 year ago today, actually, April 16th, 2014, was the blindside of LJ McCanus.
Yes. One of Tony's biggest moves in the game. I believe that was at Final 9 when Tony decided to get rid of LJ, right?
Yeah. Well, see, it's tricky. One would think. It seemed on the surface that Tony was running things. But this was actually the episode where we learned a lot more. You know, ostensibly, Tony's alliance had been in control, and we saw Sarah and Morgan go home. And we all thought that, you know, Tony was going to decide the next person to go home. And this was really the point where we learned who was behind the scenes pulling all the strings. So we had, incidentally, a reward challenge where Tony, Jeremiah, and Spencer were able to win reward and go on a spa day.
Yes.
And this was at a point in the game where Spencer really had just been winning everything. He had been winning every challenge. He had found every immunity idol.
Spencer had the immunity idol?
Yes. Spencer had the immunity idol. And Tony really was getting to a point where he saw Spencer as an unstoppable force.
Right.
And, you know, so he went on this reward challenge and really realized he needed to save his ass by getting on Spencer's side. And he basically begged Spencer to consider voting out LJ instead of him, to keep Tony around for a bit longer. It was sort of a you can't beat him, you join him type of thing. Now, at this point, we really started to see who was masterminding the entire season when they go back to camp and when Tony pulls in Wu and Spencer really pulls in Tony and pulls in everyone to create this blind side of LJ. And it was a big turning point in the game and a big turning point in how people saw the season.
In the secret scenes? Where are you getting this from that this was Spencer that put this all together?
Rob, watch the episode. You know, it's all there. Actually, the secret scenes did show a lot more, though. The one overlooked thing at this point in the game is that at this point, Spencer actually found the Tyler Perry idol. And Spencer, you know, being such a fan and really wanting the best for the fans and caring about Rob as a podcast, decided that he would put the Tyler Perry idol back in its hiding place for Tony to find later. So that was another often overlooked part.
You're joking, right?
I'm not. Would I joke with you, Rob?
Why would Spencer do that? Why would the show not show Spencer finding the Tyler Perry idol?
Well, Spencer was a player, obviously. He was, you know, running
the
whole show.
Yeah, but that's not good play.
He really cared more about the entertainment of his favorite show than about winning the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the story we got.
This sounds like fan fiction to me.
No, I don't think so, Rob.
Okay. All right. And so then LJ got voted out, right?
Right, yeah. Then LJ got voted out, and you know the rest. It was a very chaotic post-merge.
Yes. Okay. That is not exactly how I remember it, but okay. So what else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
I'm getting
a Skype call from Jordan Kalish. Why am I getting a Skype call from another
I'll hang up and we'll
answer it.
Hey.
Yes. Jordan, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I think that was your phone disconnected?
No, my phone is fine. My life is good.
Okay, so what else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
What do you mean, what else?
What else is going on in this week in Survivor history?
Well, I just called you. I mean, have we even started? Don't we have to do the advertisement and everything?
No. Are you drinking?
Not excessively.
You're talking about that Spencer found the Tyler Perry idol, and we're in the middle of doing this.
You mean Tony?
No. Yes, Tony found the Tyler Perry idol.
Yeah, Tony found the Tyler Perry idol, but I'm not even going to talk about Kageyan today. I was planning on talking about Heroes versus Villains.
Okay, what happened in Heroes versus Villains?
Well, this is the episode from April 15th, 2010. This is 5 years ago yesterday. This episode is actually called Survivor History. So this is definitely a good one to talk about. And this is another one that the patrons voted on this week. And this is the episode, of course, where JT thinks that there is a women's alliance going on the Villains tribe. So he decides to hand the Hidden Immunity idol over to Russell in order to save him.
Okay.
And this was a move where JT thought it was going to be a great strategic point for the Heroes, because he figured Russell's on the outs. He's a new player. He doesn't know anybody. And at the merge, we'll be able to rip him in and get the majority after the merge.
Okay. And how did that work out for JT?
It did not work out very well for JT. It ended up that Russell was, of course, not on the outs in his tribe. He was very much an insider in his tribe, along with Parvati and Danielle. The best part of this episode that we all remember, not only JT handing Russell the idol, and Colby was kind of involved as well during the challenge, but then when Russell gets the note that came with the idol, and he the note, of course, says, read in private, don't show anybody. And of course he brings it right to his alliance member Parvati, and at that point we basically knew that that this is gonna come around and screw JT in the end.
Oh boy. Alright. Well, Jordan, you did great work this week. I think you started off a little rough, but I think you came on strong here in the end with Heroes versus Villains.
I don't think I started rough at all. We did what we normally do. You know what? I did forget to add that Parvati actually added the XOXO part. That's not actually in the note, which I didn't realize until my recent rewatch this episode. Are the two podcast awards getting to your head? I can't tell.
Why do you think the podcast awards have gotten to my head?
I don't know. You won these two great awards yesterday, and now I get on the line, you're all confused.
Yes. All right, Jordan. Well, hopefully next week we'll have everything a little more organized when we do the call. Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you a pass on this one. You're in Vegas. Shit happens when you go to Vegas.
You're giving me a pass. I'm giving you a pass.
Well, okay. We both passed.
I guess so. All right. Well, hopefully next week, let's try to stick to the things that happen in the episodes and not in the secret scenes. Okay.
Stick to the plan.
Yeah. Stick to the plan. All right. Thank you so much, Jordan.
All right. You too, Rob. That was weird.
All right. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor History. I apologize about some of the technical difficulties that we had during that interview with Jordan. I don't know if it's because I'm in Vegas or I'm in the hotel. I'm not doing this in my studio or whatever, but I do apologize for that. That was a little more awkward than usual. And next week I'll be back in my studio and hopefully everything is back to normal. So I've got to get back to LA. We've got a podcast with Penner coming up tonight. Very much looking forward to that. Get your questions in for Penner on our Facebook page at facebook.com/RobHasAPodcast. Again, thank you guys for making all of these crazy podcast dreams come true and bringing home these awards for Rob Has a Podcast and the Rob Has a Podcast community. I can never thank you guys enough for everything that we've been able to accomplish. So thanks again. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.